a cloud, the Father's voice is heard. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him.
Praise to you, Lord, King of eternal glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we celebrate the second Sunday of Lent, and the readings invite us, come up the mountain and be transformed. Come up the mountain and be transformed. Today's gospel takes us up a mountain. And the mountains in scriptures are never accidental. Something always changes on a mountain. The Ten Commandments were given on the mountain. Jesus' most powerful teaching, Sermon on the Mount. Mount, mountain, and transfiguration. How does Jesus go to the mountain? By horses, by donkey, or angels take him to the mountain? No, he climbs the mountain. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a high mountain. Tradition identifies it as Mount Tabor. But here's something important. Jesus does not take the whole crowd. He takes three. Not because he loves the other less, but because intimacy requires willingness. Intimacy requires willingness. Mountains are not for the curious, mountains are for the committed. Lent is exactly that. Jesus taking us up the mountain, and let's be honest, climbing is uncomfortable. You feel the strain, you feel exposed, you feel small. And that is what Lent feels for us. A man once approached to a priest and told him, Father, I love God, but I avoid silence. Why? Because when it gets quiet, I see things in myself I don't like. So he stayed busy, noise, work, entertainment, distraction. But one Lent something happened in his life, a health scare, health challenge. Suddenly he had a choice but to slow down. And in that forced silence, he met not condemnation, he experienced God's mercy through the sacrament of reconciliation and anointing. He said, I always thought if I climbed the mountain, God would shame me. Instead, he showed me who I really am. That is the transfiguration. The moment we discover who am I, that is the first step to our spiritual journey. You may ask your Google Almighty or Alexa any questions, and it gives you the answer. But you write, who am I? It will not give you the answer. And it is each one of us to discover, who am I? And when we discover, our real spiritual journey begins. The Gospel says to Jesus, the Gospel says, Jesus' face shone like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. Why now? Because just days before, Jesus told the disciples he would suffer and die. They were confused, afraid, disappointed. So before leading them to Calvary, he shows them his glory. Before Good Friday, he gives them the light, Easter joy. Because suffering without hope destroys faith. Suffering without hope destroys faith. But suffering with vision transforms it. That is why Lent is not about guilt, it is about vision. Is it about vision? Where I am, want to go. What is my dream of life? What is my vision of my life? The first reading from the book of Genesis, God tells Abraham, go from your country and a land I will show you. No map, no explanation, just trust. Abraham climbed the mountain of uncertainty, and that is the real mountain, trust. Some of us are being asked this Lent, trust me in your marriage, trust me in your illness, trust me in your parish struggles, trust me in your loneliness. Abraham did not know the destination. He only knew the one who called him. And he followed. And the great things what we hear is you will be blessed. And if people blesses you, you will be blessed. If people curse you, you will be cursed. And that is what happens, my dear brothers and sisters. When you walk with God's presence, you are blessed. And your blessings radiates. And if anyone curses you, that curse goes back to them. And that is the power to become the children of God. Peter sees the glory and says, Lord, it is good that we are here. Let us build three tents. He wants to freeze the moment. But faith is not about building tents on the mountain. It is about being changed on the mountain and return back to the ordinary. We do this too, right? We want a consoling prayer moment every day, a church without no problems, a life without crosses. But Jesus does not remove the mountain. He transforms us on it. A bright cloud overshadows them. In Scripture, a cloud represents God's presence, mysterious, not controllable. And from the cloud comes the voice, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." This is my beloved Son, listen to him. Not admire him, not analyze him, listen. The heart of Lent is not do more, it is listen more. And that is why we call Lent is a season of grace, to listen more. And what is Jesus saying right now in your life? Maybe forgive, apologize, return to confession, serve quietly, stop gossip, trust again. Listening changes everything. The gospel says they fell to the ground in fear, because real encounter with God shakes us. But then comes one of the most beautiful lines. Jesus came and touched them. "Arise and do not be afraid. Arise, do not be afraid." Notice the same Jesus who shines like the sun is the one who bends down and touches the trembling men. That is the heart of Christ. That is the heart of every Christian should be. Glory and tenderness should flow through our lives. That is why every time end of the Mass, what do we say? What does the deacon or priest says? "Go in peace, glorifying your life." It is to glorify, to show our tenderness, to show our glory, what we experience here has to be shown through our ordinary life with our words and actions. They came down the mountain, and here is the key. The glory was real, but the valley still waited. Lent is not about staying in the church feelings. It is about carrying light into ordinary life. When you leave Mass today, your problems may still be there. Your struggles may still be real. Parish tensions may still exist. Family wounds may still hurt. But you are meant to see them differently. You are meant to see them differently because you have seen his face. You have seen his face. And that is what happens every Sunday, every Mass we encounter. We experience him. We experience his face. Exactly like Mary, how Mary carried 9 months Jesus on our tomb. We experience the same living Jesus with us. What a sublime, what a privilege for each one of us. If I may, let me ask you this. Where is your mountain right now? A difficult relationship? A personal sin you're tired of fighting? A personal sin that you are tired of fighting? A hidden grief? A call to deeper prayer? Wait, if the mountain, what is the mountain you are resisting? Is the very place of your transfiguration? What if God is not trying to expose you, but to reveal you? The disciples did not know who Jesus really was, but on the mountain they saw his identity. And here is the hidden truth. When you see Christ clearly, you begin to see yourself clearly. When you see Christ clearly, you begin to see yourself clearly. Not as a failure, not as a label, not as a worst mistake, but as beloved, but as a beloved son and daughter. And that is the transfiguration, dear brothers and sisters. The real experience that I had. A woman once told me after confession, "Father, I was afraid to come for years. I thought God would be angry." Instead, she wept and said, "I feel better. I feel lighter. Like something bright has entered in me." And that is transfiguration. When grace touches shame, when light enters darkness, and fear becomes trust, that is transfiguration. When I was in Denver, I had gone for the sick call, and usually when I go for the sick call, I ask the person, "Do you want to confess?" And the man, he said, "Is it possible?" I said, "Of course." And he did not confess more than 30 years. He did a beautiful confession and said his same words, "Father, I feel lighter, I feel free, I feel peaceful." And that is the transfiguration, dear brothers and sisters. There are so many instances, so many stories. God, when he touches our shame, we are transfigured. We become new. This Lent, Jesus is saying, come up the mountain. Yes, it is uncomfortable. Yes, it requires effort. Yes, it exposes you. But on the mountain, you will see his glory. You will hear his voice. You will feel his touch. And then he will say to you, "Rise, do not be afraid." And you will walk back into your life transformed, new, and joyful.
Please rise, let us profess our creed. I believe in one